Hello, respected viewers, it's George from Ireland. Well, there's a Chinese proverb saying, may you live in interesting times. And there was a period of about 24 hours in Russia that was exceptionally fascinating. What on earth was going on? So Yevgeny Prigozhin, the head of Wagner, private military company, been fighting in Ukraine for months, publicly lacerating the defense minister, Sergei Shoigu, and the most senior general of the Russian army, Valery Gerasimov, and others in the top brass, saying they were deliberately not providing his troops with sufficient ammunition and so on. He finally pushed the Kremlin a bit too far. He's never criticized Putin himself, but they issued a warrant for his arrest, claiming he was inciting armed rebellion, and he's facing a sentence of up to 20 years. Now, he's a jailbird. He's previously served 9 years in the Soviet era for robbery. And the conviction rate in Russia is over 99%. So it shows how Putin is losing his touch that he was imbecilic enough to issue an arrest warrant for a man who had 25,000 armed men under his command. The thing to do was to invite him to Moscow for a meeting and then arrest him, not issue this when he was at large. Otherwise, he got rid of. And so Prigozhin said that the Russian army had deliberately opened fire on his men. No blue-on-blue incident. That might well have been true. And he's, you know, it's him saying that the Russian army, and remember, Wagner Group is not part of the Russian armed forces. It's a separate organization. And okay, it functions as really an adjunct to the Russian armed forces, but it's not officially part of the Russian military. And there was some bitter rivalry between it and the Russian armed forces, even though many of the Wagner Group fighters had previously been proper soldiers in the Russian army. They were deliberately withholding ammunition. And there was some animus between them. Some of the army officers, they resented him being a glory boy, him wearing a military uniform, despite the fact he's never soldiered a single day, a bit like Putin, and claiming credit for all these victories. And actually, he did actually attain them, illegal, immoral, all the rest of it, but he did actually win some of the battles at a terrible human cost. And of course, becoming incredibly rich when some of the, even the generals are on relatively modest salaries. So they would have quite liked to see him humiliated. They want to see him fail. But anyway, he'd had enough. At 2 a.m. Russian time, he announced he'd crossed the border from Ukraine back into Russia, and the Russian border guards had not attempted to stop him, welcomed him, some say, going for Rostov-on-Don. So Rostov-na-Don is also the headquarters of the southern command of the Russian army, fairly major city, and controlling bridges over the river Don was also strategically significant and seemed to take that bloodlessly, apparently welcomed by some people there. Then nobody did the FSB, the Federal Security Services, and it's Russia's answer to the FBI, really. But anyway, so from there, going on to Voronezh, a city somewhat south of Moscow, would he go on to Moscow from there? And saying, really, this was not a coup d'etat, though blatantly it was attempted a coup d'etat, but said he was going after Gerasimov and Shoigu and perhaps other generals, not Putin himself. Now, this had never said a word against Putin, but maybe that was the unspoken thing that really he wanted to topple Putin. I don't know. But it's like a Jacquerie, good king and bad ministers. We must rid the king of his evil counselors who are leading him astray. Now, there actually would be some merit in that argument in this case because, well, we know from Putin's defected bodyguard, assuming what he's saying is true, Putin doesn't watch television, use the internet. His source of information is really his cabinet colleagues and some of his generals and so on. It's all just face to face. And so he might actually believe his own hype, which is why he's made poor decisions because he's deliberately misinformed. Anyway. So would he even succeed? And I thought, there's no way Wagner Group's going to succeed. I mean, how mental can he be? He's got 25,000 troops, some of whom are rubbish, have minimal military training, just volunteered out of prison, or too old or decrepit. And he himself said he's very low on ammunition, got hardly any tanks or artillery, certainly no air force. The Russian army alone, the army, has got 800,000 troops. Admittedly, not many of those are close to Moscow. But it's got tanks and artillery, and there's the air force, and that would be real Putin's trump card. Wagner Group's got very little air defense, as well as, you know, the Navy. And okay, the Navy is not near Moscow, but they do have men who can fight on land, women who can fight on land. Even a few Marines or whatever. The FSB is fairly well armed. There's the Russia Guard and whatever. So I thought there's no way he's going to succeed. I thought there'll be some fighting, might even last a few days, but you know, Wagner Group will not prevail. And he's going on Voronezh with his column of trucks. But that could easily be bombed on the road. But Putin said this is treason, the stab in the back, you know, it's a knife in our back and so on. So, Putin came out fairly strongly against him. But why not order airstrikes? Why muss about? Why not just hammer him right now? It wouldn't have succeeded. It made me call to mind various times there were uprisings in Russia, you know, through the 20th century. 1905 revolution, which obviously failed, the February revolution, and then the July days of 1917, the Kornilov coup in August into September 1917, the October revolution, then the August coup in 1991, and then October 1993, the fighting around the White House in Moscow. It was most similar to the Kornilov coup when Lavr Kornilov came back from the front to try and seize power in Petrograd, claiming Kerensky, he thought Kerensky had been kidnapped by Bolsheviks forced to give false orders or something like that. But Kornilov coup, did he believe that? Was he lying? Did he know Kerensky wasn't controlled by the Bolsheviks? Was he trying to seize power for himself, put the Tsar in charge? And over a century later, we're still playing a guessing game. But apparently the United States was apprised of what was going on. Now, some of the Russian army had been accusing Yevgeny Prigozhin a few weeks ago of contacts with the Ukrainians and negotiating with them, which is not beyond the bounds of possibility. There's a lot of double crossing going on. From the Ukrainian point of view, this was manna from heaven. If the Russian forces, both the army and Wagner Group, were going to be slaughtering each other, you know, the Ukrainians could stand back and laugh, and they'd be distracted at the very least, because the Ukrainian counterfence is not going terribly well, retaken 8 villages. Havoc. And if he took power in Moscow, Prigozhin, he could go either way. He could go nuclear, or he could try and end the war. But the day before this whole thing blew up, before he went back into to seize Rostov, he'd said the war was unjustified, that Shoigu had started it unnecessarily, simply because he wanted promotion to marshal, the public had been lied to. So Prigozhin, I mean, I know he's a pathological liar, but even he tells the truth sometimes. The war is unjustified. Can the devil speak true? Yes, even a broken clock is right twice a day. Anyway, but then there was an honest broker, supposedly in the shape of Alexander Lukashenko, taking phone calls from Putin and indeed Prigozhin, and then a deal was hammered out in order to avoid unnecessary bloodshed. Prigozhin said he agreed to this deal, but Prigozhin is all about unnecessary bloodshed. It's how he'd made his fortune, that he would not be prosecuted for anything. All charges would be dropped. He'd be allowed to go to Belarus, so that's fine. And the troops will return to the field. Well, I'd be staggered if Prigozhin is stupid enough to trust Putin. Who would trust Putin as far as they can judo throw him? All right, it's quite easy to judo throw. He's quite small, and he only plays against opponents who've agreed to be beaten. But that's by the by. There are rumors he's already dead. My contact in the BBC has told me that was, you know, various people, well, Russians and Ukrainians, obviously can't name names. So I'm not sure that he's dead. I don't think he's dead, but I put it this way. It's at this stage unfalsifiable. Last time I've seen Rostov-Donu. If he's in Belarus, why no imagery of him in Belarus? So if you get on a plane that the Belarusians have provided, or a helicopter going to Belarus, might just go to Moscow and hand you over the FSB, or just push you out of the helicopter or something like that. Or even if you are in Belarus, living in luxury in a villa, at any point they can arrest you and hand you over to the Ruskies whenever Putin wants. So I thought there's the end of Wagner Group, and they're already saying it's going to be dissolved. They're going to be absorbed into the Russian army, and that's it. So is Wagner Group served Putin's purposes for quite some time? Anyway, there was no way this was going to work, but you know, Moscow was closed to panic stations, troops on the streets, barriers set up. It shows that Putin's regime is a bit more brittle than was said. I mean, I've been saying for months, I mean, he's not going to be overthrown, certainly by the masses. It might be someone within the military. I hadn't particularly thought of Wagner Group. I thought with the proper army. Now he's tried to coup-proof the regime by not having army units close to the center of Moscow, having a polycratic regime, and a number of military and law enforcement agencies with overlapping areas of responsibility. You know, so the FSB, the Russia Guard, the army, the Ministry of the Interior, troops, and so on. And then the Presidential Protection Service, they're really his praetorians. And Putin allegedly got out of Moscow. He lied, well, he said that's not true. I don't know if it's true or not. I very much suspect that it is, and various billionaires got on their private jets, got the hell out in case there's fighting on the streets of Moscow. But It shows how fragile Putin's regime is. Another thing, this war is to make Russia safer. Yeah, right. So this, Russia came to the brink of civil war. It hasn't made Russia safer. They've seen nothing like this for 30 years. It's in greater danger than ever. Demilitarizing Ukraine, how's that going? Yet now that they're armed to the teeth, they're far better armed than ever before. Denazifying a regime that wasn't remotely Nazi, although Putin's regime is, and is now, in a way, stronger than ever. Right, thanks for watching my channel. Goodbye.